This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Eric Bickle, I'm Grant Paulson. This unnamed Sunday morning radio show continuing on 106.7 The Fan. EB, you know one thing you and I have nothing in common. There's no middle ground here on. You love wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants. I don't think I've ever worn sweatshirts and sweatpants at the same time in my life. I don't even own sweatpants.
Well, what do you?
They're so hot and uncomfortable to me. I used to hate jeans. I probably didn't wear jeans until I was like.
So what do you wear?
Know, high school.
I don't even pay attention to you.
Well, now I wear jeans all the time. Yeah. But like I'm saying, for most of my life, I'm a big khaki shorts guy. I'm like at home, I can't wear like pants or hoodie. I'm in a t-shirt and gym shorts all the time.
Right. To me, jeans are just tight and like you know,
they're a lot to deal with.
They're not comfortable.
So sweatpants. Agreed, but I'll take if I'm in jeans at work or whatever, I come home. The jeans, I'm Mr. Rogers, bro. I'm going straight upstairs. I'm sitting down. I'm humming a song. I'm taking off my shoes and my pants, and I'm putting on my T-shirt and my shorts. I'm changing immediately.
Right. But in the winter, you're wearing shorts?
In the house, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I just am too cold, so I'm in sweats. Now, in the summer, I'll wear shorts, and I love shorts, but if they're like they're golf shorts or they're gym shorts, that kind of thing. I just like to be comfortable, man.
I wish I could just rock the hoodie and the sweatpants because it is a comfortable look. I just get too hot.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I need like the least amount. Like right now, t-shirt, shorts. That's what I'm rocking.
Right.
And
yeah.
I look at you and I'm like, how are you not hot?
Well, and I've got a million lights in here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I really don't need to do this. I'm on autopilot. I get up in the morning and I pick a hoodie. What hoodie am I going to wear today? And what hat am I going to wear? That's the extent of dressing for work.
That's how you get dressed.
Yeah.
We're going to replay a little part of our interview at the bottom of the hour at 10:30 with Vince Taylor, who was on Grant and Danny this week, the agent for Trent Williams. I want to get your thoughts on this Trent saga, though. I don't know about you, EB. I was Team Trent a year ago, hardcore.
Yeah.
When I found out that he had a cancerous tumor removed from his head, that according to him, the team had misdiagnosed for a while, that medically he did not trust them, and because of that he wanted out of the organization. I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I said, you know what? His training staff has had issues over many years with a lot of players, and I understand that if your company cost you as much as the Redskins, according to Trent Williams, cost him, and his argument is nearly his life, that you want out, I'm going to respect you. And I think they should have traded him, and I think they probably could have gotten a first-round pick when he had 2 years left on his deal. They unequivocally could have gotten a second-round pick. And the fact that they didn't do that was malpractice, and Bruce Allen should be held accountable for that. That was a joke. He screwed that up, as he screwed up a lot of things. I don't feel that way anymore, though. Trent's issue was supposedly the medical stuff, and Larry Hess, their head trainer, and the medical staff. Larry Hess and some of his assistants are gone. Now, a lot of the people were held over, but for the most part, they made major changes, including the head trainer, who he's named time and time again. He couldn't stand Bruce Allen, couldn't trust him. He is gone. They were the bad guys. You've got a new staff, a largely new front office, an entirely new coaching staff, and he still has an issue. And now we've come back to this idea of the money he's looking for when we heard originally. Well, it's medical, but it's also money. So I don't feel as, I won't say bad for Trent Williams, but as much on his side anymore. The team needs to get something valuable back from him. They're trying to make up from a bad situation from Bruce Allen. I think you hold out until you get a decent pick back. I'm sorry, Trent, but I'm kind of on the team's side here lately on this thing.
Yeah, but it's going to get to a point where they got to get something. They got to salvage something because he's already proven to show that he'll sit out. I don't doubt that he would sit out again. Now, I think it would be catastrophic to his career, but I think he's been self-destructive enough in that sense that I don't doubt that Trent would sit out again.
Here's the problem with him doing that, though. The new CBA makes it so hard. If he sits out again, he would still have to come back part of the way through the season to accrue this year, or else he doesn't become a free agent.
Right.
So, in other words, that year that he has left that he owes the Redskins on his contract, it carries over
right. If
he doesn't come back. So what he could do, I guess, is not come to camp, not play in the preseason, and then miss like the first 2 months or so.
Well, do
and
what
show
he did last
around
year,
Halloween.
And then say it hurts to put the helmet on.
But if he doesn't accrue the year, I don't know. That's the technicality. If he says it hurts to put the helmet on,
right?
I'm
that's
not sure
he did
that he
last
accrue
year.
The season. I think he has to play football games though to accrue the season now with the new CBA.
But here's the bottom line on this, and I think we all knew it at the time, but we kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt. Money has always been a massive part of this, in my opinion. He wanted a new deal. He wanted more security. And I don't blame him. I mean, he certainly was upset about the treatment, the health issues, and he certainly resented the fact that he continued. I mean, everybody knows he's a warrior. He put his body on the line. We all saw that, right? Go out there playing hurt with, you know, tremendous injuries. And so he wanted to be rewarded. And then when they go out and they draft other young offensive linemen, you know, like any person, you know, he took that personally a little bit. You know, he could see maybe the replacement plan in progress there a little bit, as much as he didn't want to admit that. So he wanted to feel wanted, and I think that's what happened with the Rivera meeting. So Rivera comes in, by all accounts, and is in no real rush to meet with him, but eventually they do sit down, and he wants to feel the love. And Rivera's like, yeah, you got to prove it. You know, let's see what you got. And, if he's not getting the money and he's not feeling the love, he wants to go elsewhere. So I just think money is a massive, massive part of this. If Rivera and this regime said, you know what, we like what we've seen of you. We know you're a character guy. It got a little weird with Bruce and with the trainer, but we have faith in you. We're going to reward you. We're going to give you a little 3-year deal. We're going to bump your money up and everything. He would be here 100%, in my opinion. At the end of the day, it's about money and feeling the love, and he's not feeling either one of those right now.
So, I think that's true. And you know what you mentioned that is stunning to me? When Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, and you'll hear some of the interview again at 10:30 when we replay it for you, when he said that Rivera and the coaching staff didn't reach out to Trent until 45 days after he was hired, that shocked me.
Yeah.
And I know how that time can get away from you. I've kind of gone through the timeline and looked up what Ron Rivera was doing during that time, and they were firing or relieving coaches and training staff, and then they were hiring those guys. And it's been on record that he wanted to have meetings with everyone left from last year's staff in the building about all the players before he talked to any of the players. I get all that. But still, if you hire me as the head coach of the Redskins, and I think I would say the same for you, Eric, if you get hired, your first thing you want to do probably is meet with Dwayne Haskins, and the next thing might be maybe I should figure out what's going on with my fringe all-pro left tackle who hates this organization and didn't play last year.
Except,
to not do that for a month and a half is a long time.
Yeah, but except if all you've been told is this organization needs a culture change and you got a guy out there, you know, admittedly probably your best player, who all he's done over the last few months is badmouth the organization. I said nice things about Dan, but, you know, essentially been part of the problem. You know, when you're a new guy, you want a clean house with bad culture guys. And I know that you've said that he's one of your favorite guys to cover and he wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
But over the last year, he kind of was.
Yeah, no, he is now.
Yeah. And so when you're a new guy and your whole thing, and I've learned this so much over the last few years, culture is everything. And they're trying to start a brand new culture here. And so I see why he didn't reach out to Trent right away, because Trent's part of the problem in Rivera's eyes.
Which I get, but I guess what I'm saying is if he's part of the problem and you want to change the culture, that means moving on from him. And by the way, I'm on record, I would trade him. You have to. You can't keep him on this roster. You could, but I don't know that you should. But I guess my point is that doesn't mean you don't reach out to him. What I would have done is reached out to him immediately. You probably can't bring him in. He's not going to fly in. But you have a call, or you do what we're doing right now, and you get on Zoom, and you're looking at each other face-to-face on video, and you say, listen up, Trent, we're going to get you out of here. I know you want out. You don't make sense here if you're not happy, because I need guys that are completely on board with what I'm doing. but help me help you. Let's get the most back for you possible. You get the most money possible. Let's end this thing amicably. Let's have you come back in the Ring of Fame and the Ring of Honor in years. Let's let Redskins fans say nice things about you. Let's not get ugly in the media. Let's not go public with any of this stuff. I'm getting you on the first train out of here that I can, but let's do this together. And he didn't even kind of build that bridge. That's what was interesting to me. The fact that he might want to move on is not a surprise, because look what they did with Quentin Dunbar. Yeah. They took their starting number one cornerback and said, anybody got some peanuts, we'll take them. And they traded him for a fifth. You can't really do that with Trent because he's a Pro Bowler every year and he's excellent and he's got much more national relevance, I think, to his name than Dunbar does. But I am just surprised that they didn't try to reach out, even if it was – to kind of signify the beginning of the end and get on the same page.
Yeah. You would think that there'd be a way to maximize both interests.
Yeah.
But I think he's just looking at it as a football guy and going, hey, you're either on or you're in or you're out, right? Like a Rizzo thing. You're either in or you're in the way. You know what I mean? And I just think that's how he looked at it. It probably isn't the most beneficial way. Maybe there was a way where they could have maximized the value a little bit. But I do think it's gotten to the point now where – you know, I think they got to just take what they can get.
What if that's a fifth-round pick?
They ruined this not this year. They ruined this last year.
100%.
And so, you know, just get what you can get and move on. And I've said this a million times on our show. And, look, I'm just a fan. I just watch the games. I don't know anything.
Yeah,
but to me, the right side had more issues last year than the left side. And they brought in just a guy, right? I'm not saying that he was Trent Williams. He wasn't. And I'm sure that they schemed it up differently and did things that they couldn't do if Trent was there. But to me, the right side was more of an issue than the left side. So, you know, let's draft a guy. Let's bring in some guys in there. Let's coach him up and let's play some football and let's stop worrying about egos and people that don't want to be here.
Here's the question we can pose at 800-636-1067 for you guys. 800-636-1067. What would you need back to trade Trent Williams at this point? If you get to what I'll call Bickle territory, where you just say, it's time. You got to move
on. Just give me what you got.
Give me the best that you're offering. Is there still a price that you need? Or would you actually do it for whatever? You know, because I still need a certain price. I'll tell you what that is in a moment. But I want to know from you guys, what would you trade Trent Williams for? And I don't mean what do you want. Everybody wants a one or a two. You're not getting that. So what would you have to get back to pull off the trade at this point? 800-636-1067. Grant Paulson, Eric Bickle on the Fan. EBGP 1067, the Fan. Bickle and Paulson with you until noon from 12 to 3 today. Danny Ruye and Pete Medhurst going to keep you company on this station. Of course, yesterday you had the debut of the CNC Radio Connection, Chad Dukes and Money Metal Cakes, and a more traditional tandem of J.P. Flame and Bish Bucks as well. Everybody working on the weekend trying to keep you guys just hearing some familiar voices as best we can throughout what's going on in a weird time around the country.
It's definitely an all-hands-on-deck kind of time, so absolutely. Happy to do it.
I wouldn't have wanted to be CK making all those phone calls, but I'll say that we work with, for the most part, pretty good dudes who get it. And so my hope is everyone was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, this is a weird time.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain Jason was the one that's probably the most resistant. I have no idea.
That would have probably been the first call.
Yeah, that would have probably been the most resistant. But most of that, he probably just kept inside. But at the end of the day, it is an all-hands-on-deck thing. And we are lucky that everybody gets along. Because believe me, I have worked in various incarnations where not everybody does get along.
You can't just pull names out of a hat.
No. So, and I told him I'll work with anybody. So this works out great.
So lucky. Also, I would say, not to get too deep here, but you know, if this is like the biggest inconvenience that anyone has to deal with at the station, that like, hey, on the weekend, you got to get down in your basement again and do 3 more hours.
Right.
Like, you know how much better that is than what most people are dealing with? I mean, it really is. It's one of those times where my fingers have been crossed the entire time. Like, this is a dream so far compared to what could and might happen in a lot of industries.
Well, it's just scary. I mean, now they're saying that I don't want to go down this road too much, but Fauci, I guess, went on CNN last night and said he's expecting millions of cases and over 100,000 deaths here in the United States. And if you do the math, some of the comments, the way that it's been doubling, we could have over a million cases here in the United States by Easter. Actually,
I hope that he's wrong about that.
I hope so too. But it is terrifying. Stay at home. Do your part. I think people are doing an amazing job. You see the story of the one guy in Charles County or whatever that had a cookout with 60 people? It was either Charles County or Carroll County, one of them. And you know, they arrested him, of course, finally. It's like the second time they've warned him. He was having a bonfire.
Wait, he got arrested?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, the people that I want arrested first, though, are these people that are going around like coughing on fruit and stuff in the grocery store.
Give them 20 years.
Well, I mean, honestly, what should they get?
Like a long time.
So, you know, Danny, I give Danny credit. He was kind of first on the scene here. You heard the story, I'm sure. After you guys were at spring training, you're back in the studio doing the show.
Yeah.
Danny and I go down to spring training right when it got canceled. In fact, we were at West Palm Beach when spring training got shut down, okay? We were there. We got down there the night before the dummy who flew from New York to West Palm with COVID-19 was on the plane. And he was a New Yorker, probably a Yankees fan, coming to the ballpark to watch the Yankees and the Nats the day that we were there. I mean, all I could think every time I saw a Yankees fan in a Yankees hat is that's the dummy who was on the plane last night.
Yeah.
With COVID-19 standing next to me now.
Right.
But anyway, my point is Danny said right away that guy should be arrested.
Yeah.
You know, that guy should be held accountable for this. And he's talking about like years of jail. And I'm like, that's probably aggressive because I don't know. Did he know he had it before he got on the plane? Did he find out when he landed? Like, how did that work? But if you're prioritizing yourself and your life over everyone else's, I don't know if that's just not the right thing to do or when we cross the path into, okay, now these people need to be held accountable legally. But I know that if you're going around coughing on things in a grocery store, that absolutely you should be arrested.
It's egregious. Well, I just read a story about a guy who was diagnosed with it. He was a New Yorker and probably was one of these guys that felt pretty good. And he was going for bike rides. And they're like, you're going for a bike ride in Manhattan? You can't do that. Like, I understand that in theory it should be okay or not be outside. But no, if you get diagnosed with this thing, you got to stay in your freaking house.
Yes.
You got to stay
in your
house.
That's literally what everyone's been saying. It's that and wash your hands. Those are the two things you've heard for 6 weeks now.
Yeah. There was a great video that was put out here by this doctor. I think he works with Cornell. And he said it actually has been, and he's in the heart of it. He's in the hospital all the time. He goes through the emergency ward. He sees the COVID. He works with COVID-19 patients. And he's got to wear the N95 mask when he goes there and intubates guys and all this. But he said he actually got some relief because he understands now that he's never going to get this virus. So, for one, he wears a mask, you know, anytime he's in the hospital. And he wears the special mask whenever he's with the guys that have it. And that he just... They know that the number one transmission is your hands to your face. And so he says he just Purells his hands all the time. If he touches anything, just boom, hand sanitizer, boom, wash his hands. And he knows he's not going to get this because he's an elite hand washer. And he knows it's in his control. And if we can all just do the same, like, I feel like at home, I can touch my face all I want because I'm clean and I'm here.
Sure.
But even at home now, I'm trying to stop touching my face so that I can program myself when I'm out and about.
Well, when I try to do that best, it's like I've had to go. I'm the designated store goer now.
Yeah.
I've never been our grocery guy.
Yeah.
I don't do the shopping. My wife likes doing it. I hate doing it. But, and it's probably dumb logic because if I get it, she's getting it and vice versa. But I am kind of – I'm willing to let me
feel like you're taking one for the team.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me go out there and kind of risk the elements, so to speak, fight the wolves.
You'll be the hunter and gatherer.
Exactly. I'll go out there and bring back the woolly mammoth skin for all of us or whatever. So I go to the store, and I do bring Purell with me. But I know that, like, the first couple times I did it, I was on point. Like, every time I touched anything, you know, I brought gloves and I'm washing.
Right.
By the last time I went out, I realized I was like – I basically shopped like normal. I was
Were
like,
you
I
slacking?
Cannot. It's so slacking,
dude. It's going the other way now, though.
I know. I'm well aware, but my point. It's like I got almost comfortable, or I'm so used now to just like living in this way that For whatever reason, I just
you let your guard down a little bit.
Lackadaisical.
You let your guard down a little bit. But see, I think it's harder to let your guard down now. I understand what you mean because, again, it's this invisible thing and everyone seems the same. But when you go shopping now, more people are wearing masks. And they're actually, you're seeing these rumblings that the way we're going to slowly get acclimated back into the real world is by them, if not obligating, but strongly suggesting that you wear a mask. Not necessarily to protect yourself, although there's clearly an effect to wearing a mask to protecting yourself. There's no doubt about it. It may not be huge, but there's definitely an effect. But also to not spread if you're asymptomatic.
Well, that's the main thing. Because like the experts say that wearing a mask will not prevent you from getting something. Like that is just fallacy. Like if you don't have something, you don't need to wear a mask. But the thing is, if you aren't feeling well or if you do, the mask will prevent the spread is what they say.
That's what they're saying. But they're also – it's not totally incongruent. And then why are healthcare workers all insisting on wearing masks? There's definitely a protective element
to
wearing masks. There's no question about it. Now, it's not going to 100% prevent it, but it will definitely help. And it will obviously help you transmitting it to others. But – it's gotten to the point in my house that I actually have a few masks because when I had the flu 6 weeks or so ago and my daughter had mono, I bought masks. So I actually have a few masks. Now, they're not airtight, but they're, you know, the regular basic cheap mask you can get. But my wife started just sewing some masks the other day because we noticed, I mean, if you're paying attention at all, hospitals are accepting homemade masks. They're accepting masks made by the guy from Fanatics who's making them out of jerseys.
Right.
Some nurses and doctors in some hospitals have resorted to wearing scarves. I mean, just anything to cover and protect some of the transmission. It's not foolproof, but it's helpful on some level. So we're making masks. I know my kid wants to go for a bike ride today with a buddy. If he does it, I'm going to make him wear a mask. My wife went this morning because I was doing this.
No chance he keeps that mask on after he leaves your house.
I understand where you're coming from, but
right.
I'm hoping that he wears it for half the time.
Right.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. But my wife went this morning and she couldn't, I told her wear the mask and she said, no. She came back. She said she couldn't believe how many people were wearing masks.
The other night?
At Safeway.
First time I went, I saw two or three. I'm like, wow, they're really aggressive with this mask thing. And now it's half the people in the store pretty much.
Half the people. Yeah.
It's crazy. So
I just think it's going to be something where why wouldn't you wear them? And now, listen, we don't want to take masks away from the healthcare workers and the people on the front lines.
That's
obviously get
concern.
Them first. Of course. But you can make a homemade one just to protect yourself and protect others from spewing whatever's coming out of our mouth. And then don't touch your hands. If you do that, we should be okay.
No good transition, but real quick, I want to squeeze in a call on Trent Williams, and we're going to have
please.
Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, who was on the station this week. You'll hear some of that audio coming up at the bottom of the hour. Kevin's in Arlington's been waiting on line one. Kevin, you're on with EB and GP. What's up, dude?
Hey, GB and EB. you know, I've been thinking about it over the weekend. I think, Grant, maybe the best thing they can hope for is to flip him for an asset like a starter at a position of need, like linebacker, cornerback, tight end, like Joku of the Browns. I'm not talking about a frontline starter, but we do need a few starters. If we could get a player who can step in and play where we need one, I'd take it. At this point, I'm with you all. We need to, by the draft weekend, once it's over with, move on from this.
Yeah, I would take, thanks for the call, like David and Joku from the Browns, their tight end.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years left on his
stud.
Deal. I would take him over a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick. You know, you basically are in the mode of, and I understand where you're coming from, where you say, end this charade, be
Let's
done with
move
this.
On.
It's
move
over,
on.
Johnny. Yeah. And I get it. I can play that game with Dunbar. I didn't love that they did, but I will allow for that. I can't do that here just because of the value of the player. If he's asking for $16-plus million on the open market, that tells you what he's still worth. I mean, there. You mentioned that last year Donald Penn was okay for the Redskins. He's 36, not as good as Trent Williams. Jason Peters, pretty good for the Eagles, made the playoffs last year. 36, not as good as Trent Williams. He's got two, three, maybe four seasons ahead of him. Two or three of those could be really, really good years. There's value there. Here's where they're between a rock and a hard place is the comp pick that they get back for him if they lose him in free agency. So let's say they just hang on to him. They don't do anything. He reports by the deadline. And he becomes a free agent at the end of the year. is a fifth-round pick in 2022.
Yeah.
Not even a third-rounder like normal, not a fifth-rounder next year. Two drafts from this year, a fifth-round pick. So that's where your leverage kind of dissipates. I guess I would take in the end, if the best I can do is a fourth in this year's draft, I guess I would do that. But that's kind of my hit the wall. That's the lowest I'm probably going to go. But I would be more willing to get Njoku than that fourth, EB. I really would.
Yeah, I would love Njoku if he's healthy, right? He's had some health issues that's kind of held him back the last couple of years, right? That's a big thing. I'll be honest with you. I know we got to go to break. I was more upset with the Dunbar thing, too, because Dunbar didn't have the leverage. Dunbar didn't make $100 million in the league.
100%.
And that's just what – but I get it. It's a culture thing, and so they don't want – if you're unhappy, they're just shipping you out of here. But I would have made Quentin Dunbar play because there's no chance he's sitting out. He don't have the financial security to do it.
Yeah, agreed. We should get into Dunbar because it sounds like we're in lockstep on that before we get out of here. We're only about halfway home at this point.
Are we
going
to play the interview?
Until noon. Yeah, we'll do that next. Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams on the station this week, what he said about what's going to happen with his client and the Redskins. You're listening to The Fan. Trent Williams' agent, Vince Taylor, started the week by demanding that his client be released or traded. He came on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan, myself and Danny Ruye's show, to talk about those demands and about the fact that the time has come for Trent and the Redskins to divorce.
Yeah, so I tell you, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the Redskins Nation and also Trent Williams and his family have to be in this position. But I want to take a second just to go back and think about what happened. You know, Trent Williams was basically stricken with a disability. Unfortunate, you know, was something that he had talked to this club about over the years of his early career. And then it came to be something that he was told, get your affairs in order, you know, spend time with your family. You know, your football career is effectively over. So with that being said, moving down the road, you know, he had a fight on his hands. And by the grace of God, things came out great. He was able to get past it and move on. Through that time, the relationship with the Redskins basically deteriorated. While he spent time in the hospital, no one came to see him. No one. Getting back from it, working himself back into, you know, shape just to be a, you know, a decent human, able to do stuff day to day. Still no relationship. So then that rolls into at the point of the season starting where, you know, it was obvious we wanted to be somewhere else, wanted to be a part of a different culture. There were ample opportunities for the team to trade him. Teams were coming. At the time, you know, Bruce Allen was in charge. Never happened. So now we get to a point to where Trent shows up. He's put on a list they call NFI. When you put on an NFI list in the NFL, team is not obligated to pay you. Now, this is a young man who was stricken with a disability, got sent home, no pay. There's a guy named Jason Pierre-Paul has an accident with a firecracker, blows his thumb off, and he was compensated still 40% of his salary after being put on NFI. So we get to the new regime. Ron Rivera hired, you know, Trent optimistic that maybe, you know, things will be different. Yet there were a lot of changes made, medical staff, you know, trainer, coaches, just a total overhaul. 45 days go by. Trent has not heard anything from Ron as his representative. I reached out to the club. Hey, what's going on? Trent, you know, would like to know. When would Ron call him? When can they have a conversation? I may have called maybe three or four times before we were given a message that he would reach out to Trent at some point. Before they even met, he had a meeting with a former player, Greg Olsen, who was a free agent. So that in itself didn't really sit right, that you wouldn't meet with a guy that's on your club, but you meet with a few free agent that you had a relationship with prior to.
Vince, let me jump in real quick and just clarify a couple things because I had not heard that. That's interesting. I was under the impression Rivera and Trent have spoken. Have they not talked at all yet?
Yeah, they have spoken, and they spoke 4 days after Greg Olsen came to town, and Trent went over out of respect for Dan.
But from when Rivera was hired until then, there was no correspondence at all?
There was no correspondence at all.
And that first interaction with Rivera, because just so you know, there was a time when I completely understood Trent's issue, mostly medical, right, less contract. But whatever the reason was, he should have been traded a year ago, in my opinion. I think Bruce Allen mishandled this every way from Sunday, and he mishandled a lot of things, and he was incompetent. And I will side with the player on that every single day. Where I now don't understand, you got to help me here, is so you can give me some idea of what the conversation was like between him and Rivera. But specifically what I'm wondering, Vince, is now, you know, he didn't like the training staff, had issues with Larry Hess. You know, he didn't trust Bruce Allen, and that line wraps around the block. I'm right there behind Trent in that line, by the way. But Bruce Allen's gone. Larry Hess is gone. A lot of the quote-unquote people he had issue with are gone, and he still wants out. That's what people are having a hard time, I think, wrapping their heads around.
Right, right. And that goes into what I was explaining to you. He goes in to meet, to hopefully have a reconciliation, to go have a conversation with Ron. And, you know, in speaking with him, he realized there is no relationship. Ron, in essence, wanted him to prove himself, prove yourself. And then the nostalgia of everything that has happened, realized that there's no relationship here. It's better for us to part ways. Now, with all those changes that have been made, those changes are made so that what happened to Trent does never happen to another player again. Okay, so he had the experience, and it created change. So they didn't do those things for Trent, because there was a time, and it's quoted, that Trent, if you just tell us who did this, who's to blame, and we'll topple their head, we'll make sure their heads topple. Now, Trent refused to throw any human being under the bus, because first of all, those people have families, and second of all, people in position should have a pulse of what's going on around the building. So it wasn't up to him to fire someone. But those changes that were made, Trent, he gets thanks by all of his teammates today. Guys that now get to experience the new training staff, which, by the way, are good guys. I've dealt with the trainer there now when he was in Carolina. He sparked a change. Almost cost him his life, but he was able to spark a change. But that doesn't take away the fact that there's no relationship. There hasn't tried to be a relationship with Ron and the new personnel. So it's just best that they release him at this point.
Vince Taylor's with us here, agent for Trent Williams, kind enough to give us a few minutes this morning. Vince, I want you to tell me where I'm wrong here, okay? Everything you said about the previous regime, I think every Redskins fan, you know, by and large, would co-sign that. Nobody liked the previous guys. They're gone. The thing that I think a lot of Redskins fans think now, and this is where I want you to correct me, is the holdup in Trent not being able to have been traded right now are his contract demands. That's lowered the market and changed his attractability, even though we know he can still play and he's a really good football player and a great person, as you're alluding to. Now the holdup seems to be on your end. Tell me why that's not correct.
Yeah, man, you know, I grew up without all the social media platforms and things like that. So it's amazing how Trent could have contract demands out there. The last time we've had any negotiations with the Redskins was when Trent got his first contract, when he got his second contract. We have never talked numbers with the Redskins since. Now, as far as
there's a report that he was looking for $20 million a year to set the tackle market. Is that not true?
That is not true. That is totally false.
So let's just say, like, if I'm Cleveland and I'm willing to trade for him, but I'm only willing to pay him $16 million, that wouldn't be a holdup for you guys.
Right. If we could get to a point where we could talk about those numbers, that would not be a holdup for us. You know, that the contract has never been the holdup. The Redskins, prior to the combine, put Trent on the trade market. They had him on maybe 10 days, and even through the combine, which is the biggest business platform for teams looking to wheel and deal. Upon leaving the combine, the Redskins had not gotten one offer that they could bring to Trent and I so that I could negotiate our side. I had teams call me, and I won't call them out. I had two teams call me that said, those guys do not know what they're doing. Their ask is outrageous. So upon that,
When you say their ask, meaning the round that they want for Trent Williams?
The compensation?
Yep. The compensation that they were asking for was totally absurd. And I had two teams call to tell me that.
I look at Trent Williams. You have to tell me if he's healthy and he can still play at an all-pro level. Because if the answer of those two things is yes, you know, one of the things you said is they should release him. I think you'd agree with me to just release a guy at this point who is as good as Trent Williams when they don't have a starting left tackle who's proven on their roster. It doesn't make a lot of sense for them to do that. If I'm running the team, I've got an asset here as one of the best left tackles in the sport. I want at least a second-round pick back for that guy, or else he's not going anywhere, right? I mean, you get that.
Right, and you got to understand when you're asking and what you're asking for, all that matters. You get a perfect case study. You look at Cam Newton. At one point, was probably one of the greatest athletes of all times. He was just released. So a lot of that probably had to do with, you know, team having respect for what he's done for them and given them with his body and his contribution to the game. Other may have been salary. You know, other may have been team not being able to get what they wanted.
A new coach, they're moving on. I mean, right now, I believe you represent Jaron Christian, correct, who's one of the other left tackles on the team?
Correct.
But they don't have an option kind of to plug in for Trent Williams at this point to start that they feel good about protecting Dwayne Haskins' blind side, which I guess is right. The issue for me is a year ago, Vince, my point, and I was screaming this from every rooftop, I couldn't believe they weren't trading him. He had 2 years left on his deal. You could probably get a first-rounder, at worst a second-rounder back. There are a lot of teams that needed linemen who were competitive in season. Now, though, there's only 1 year left on his deal. And here's another thing I guess you could help me with. This is another thing that's out there, and it's awesome that Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, is on with us, kind of clearing some of this up and giving some insight from the player's perspective. The new CBA, correct me if I'm wrong, it makes it extremely difficult for players like your client to hold out again. Because of the fines that come down the pike, because basically he doesn't get to go a year closer to free agency, which was the case last year. He would basically have to owe the team a year if he never shows up again. So can't the Redskins, don't they have the leverage here in terms of him being in a hard spot where he has to show back up, or am I wrong about that?
Well, before we even get to that, I'd like to address what we were talking about them – the Cam Newton deal and them not having a player of substantial to replace Trent with. Now, when the Redskins gave me permission to seek a trade for Trent, we have had legitimate trade partners with our side being ready to go. Our deal is in place. The Redskins have changed their ask from day to day. One day it's this, the next day it's that. And with that being said, it's about what is enough for you to have a player to replace Trent. Like you said, in the past, they've had opportunities to get players and draft picks. They didn't. Then we presented them with opportunities to get players and or draft picks, and they have not done it. And Trent could have been traded over a week ago. The ball has never been strictly in our court. It's always been on the Redskins. So, do the Redskins have leverage? Of course. They're his employers. But when it comes down to having a relationship with someone and having a good working understanding, it comes down to, like Ron says, the culture. If your culture is to have people that are on board with you, why are you still keeping this young man from having an opportunity to work and make a living?
Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams. Next, let's say they do move on from Williams. If they have to go forward with one of the left tackles on the roster, what might that look like? Eric Grant on a Sunday, you're listening to The Fan. You just heard from Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams. If you got any thoughts, if you heard that for the first time, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Alongside Eric Bickle, I'm Grant Paulson. Some people are suggesting some names for the show in the event that we keep this train on the tracks in future Sundays, EB. I think we're kind of week to week at this point. But someone's saying the Q with EB and GP.
The Perhaps quarantine?
For the quarantine. We call it the Q.
It's fine with me.
Does that work?
Some T-shirts. Let's make some dough off it.
All right. So far, that's the leader in the clubhouse. If you got something, you can hit us up You heard me mention this to Vince, but I really believe this. He's saying, well, just cut Trent Williams. That's not going to happen. They're not going to cut Trent Williams. There's no reason to do that. You can trade him for something. But I brought up that their left tackle spot is not good enough outside of Trent Williams to just be willing to wash your hands of him. Here's their left tackles right now outside of Trent. Cornelius Lucas. I don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
If he was in the room sitting with me right now, I wouldn't know who he was. And Jaron Christian, who they drafted in the third round in 2018, who has not played well at all.
Yeah.
You cannot go into the season with one of those two guys starting at left tackle.
No.
Sorry, you can't do it. It's just not fair to Dwayne Haskins. You don't want to get him a tight end or you can't. We can figure that out as we go. You don't want to add another wide receiver other than Terry McLaurin before the draft? Okay, fine. But you cannot go into the season with a kid in Dwayne Haskins being thrown into the pool to see if he's going to start swimming or sink in this offense in his second year in the league with Jaron Christian as his left tackle. It just doesn't give him a chance to develop.
Right. Well, my guess is that they'll sign another couple veterans and then, you know, cut whoever's the worst. And they're going to have to draft a guy or two. There's no question about it. It's not going to be a position of strength. No doubt.
Like Jason Peters, would you sign him? He's going to be 37. He's probably the best left tackle left.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, for a one-year deal, sure. I mean, just to
okay,
get through.
Okay, fine. And maybe that's the answer. But, like, unless they trade back, and we've never really talked, maybe we can get into this next hour about the number two pick. I don't know where you're at on that. Unless they trade out and don't take Chase Young and allow themselves then another first late-round pick or a second rounder or something and they can go tackle there, they don't have many. It's like the free agency part of it is almost over. They didn't fix it. Like, I don't know who's going to be their left tackle.
They'll pick up guys who get cut.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to – look, I'm all about – actually, I've done – I don't know if I've done a 180, but I was kind of neutral on the whole thing. I would do anything to trade out of that number two pick and acquire a couple more. I think that's the move because they just need so much help. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. But I'm all about trading out of it if they could at this point.
So you would rather trade back than take Young at this juncture?
At this point, I would because they just need so much help.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think Young's
would be
a stud.
What kind of package are you looking back?
I don't know. I mean, obviously I would like to get the RG3 deal going, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I don't know. I'd like to get a couple ones if I could. Go from there. I don't know. I just have no idea what the market is for them. But, you know, I think this whole idea that, you know, Miami is just going to give us all their picks, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm resigned to them taking Young, but if there was a deal where I could get at least another one and a second or something like that, I would strongly consider it.
I'm pro Young. I think he'll be special. They haven't had a first-team All-Pro since Matt Turk, their punter, back in 96. You know, that's too long. They need great football players. They don't have enough of them.
I think they can. I think they can get if they get a couple ones, you can get some more great players.
Agree, but, I mean, they've been drafted in the first round for years and years and years and haven't found one. When you draft in the top five, it's a lot easier to get Von Miller. You know, it's a lot easier to get some of those DPOY types, like a Myles Garrett from Cleveland. But that having been said, I'm with you. If you trade back and you can get something along the lines of, like, here's how you have to look at it, I think. You give it names. So it's like Chase Young at number two or – say you move back and you pick at five or six or something. You take Isaiah Simmons.
Could be another stud All-Pro. Could be All-Pro.
Yep. And then maybe you get in the second round, maybe it's a left tackle there. Or maybe it's a wide receiver. You know, maybe you take one of the best wide receivers in the class in the top 10, and then you take the best tackle available in the early second round with the pick that you add in that trade down. And then you get a tight end. Like, is that package of pieces, a left tackle, a corner, or a left tackle – and a wide receiver better than just getting more improved at pass rusher where you're already okay.
Yeah. I personally think they just need more guys. So I would do it. And I also think if they're smart, what they should do is with their third round pick, trade down and get more picks. And I think they will do that as the draft progresses. Maybe not necessarily with the third, but I would strongly look into that too. They just don't have enough picks. They need to acquire more picks.
And they lost another one this week when they traded their fifth for Kyle Allen. Now they added that fifth back with Quentin Dunbar.
It's kind of a wash.
And it was. I mean,
although they ended up down, right? 15
yes,
spots.
They moved down in the round. But also, you gave up a number one cornerback on your team for a fifth, and then you traded a fifth for a backup quarterback. Like if you're spending the same amount on going out to dinner and a car, one of those things was not priced correctly. Right. A number one corner and a backup quarterback shouldn't net the same picks back. Somebody was wrong in those trades.
Right. No, I didn't like what they did with Dunbar. I didn't like it at all. I would have forced the kid to play. He didn't have the financial security to sit out. But
People talk about Coltrane being like, oh, he wouldn't have been a pain in the butt. Well, even if he was a pain in the butt, you know what? He's got to establish a market. He's on a one-year deal. Yeah. He's going into a get-paid season. He's got to go be great. So you want to be a pain in the butt Tuesday through Saturday? Fine. But on Sunday, you better ball out or you got no value come the offseason.
Right. It would have been career suicide for him to dog it. That wasn't going to happen.
I'm with you. Yeah. A final hour of the show next alongside EB, Grant Paulson with you. You can call us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. There's some other non-Skins things we can get into next, including when the baseball season will be back and what it might look like, and what Alex Ovechkin told reporters this week about how he wants things to go when the NHL returns. Some surprising thoughts from Ovi. We'll get into those next on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.